Thank you for tuning in for the next 30 minutes to Victory Gospel Lighthouse Church. We are located at 907 Howard Street in Jennings, Louisiana. We would like to invite you to be our guest Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. for our regular service and Wednesday nights at 6:30 p.m. for Bible study. For more information, please contact us at P.O. Box 387, Jennings, Louisiana 70546. Now stay tuned for an exciting and anointed message from Pastor Austin Spell.
Tell him we love him. Father, I just magnify you this morning. I just give you glory, Father. Lord, this morning it's just our desire to serve you and magnify you, give you glory in this house. Thank you for the cross. Lord, thank you for the way of escape. Lord, that you gave us a way out. We just thank you. Give him a hand of praise like you love him this morning. And thank this group. Thank y'all. Woo! My, 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 my. Is this where all the pretty girls hang out? My goodness. So many of you. Mark, you still got it, son, I'll tell you. Woo! My, my, my. Notice a little gray coming in here.
I don't even talk about
right,
that.
My goodness, I noticed that.
You're not supposed to notice that.
Being an elder brother, you're supposed to point stuff like that out. You know.
Just for men takes care of that sometimes, but I forgot about it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Man, I'll tell you. Well, some of us is turning gray. Others is just turning loose. And it's a joy to be here. I tell you, I come to this pulpit, and there's, I don't know that there's any of us, Pastor Spell, I don't believe there's any of us in ministry today ever grace a pulpit where we ever want to not do a good job, always. But there's just places that I go, and I couldn't tell you. I preach well over 150 to 200 times a year now, but I don't know anywhere that I go that I don't want to be more on target than when I come to Victory Gospel Lighthouse. I believe that with all my heart. And I thank you for being here. And evidently he didn't announce I was coming because you all showed up, I'll tell you. Winky, good job on that guitar, man. I heard a lick or two in there they let you have, boy, during the worship. That's good, man. Told him on the way up, I miss his daddy, I'll tell you. I really do, mine. And, I love to tease Daryl. I don't know. Mona told me one time, Mona said, why is it you pick one of the biggest guys in the church to ever pick on? I don't know. It's just a habit, I guess. But what a beautiful worship time. I don't blame you for coming here Sunday after Sunday, worship after worship. And I just love to be a bird sitting on a limb here on Wednesday nights whenever you've got teaching on eschatology. Yeah. I'll never forget, Pastor, when we took our ordination test and they asked us about eschatology. I thought it might have been a disease or something, or something bad you could catch. And I thought, why don't you just use the words that it's meant? The end time events. That's all eschatology means. And boy, I just know this. I don't know who the Antichrist is, but I want to be out of here when y'all find out. Thank you for those looks, man. My, 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 my. I just, it's a joy. I love being a part of this movement. It doesn't matter. I love to tease people about, I try to keep my messages, somewhat intact where, we'll never beat the Baptist to the restaurant. Now, they've had that down for years. And this is my 50th year in ministry, and I still can't beat them to the restaurant. So I do want to tell you, like Elizabeth Taylor told her seventh husband, not going to keep you long. And I'm just glad some of you remember who Liz Taylor is. My audiences are getting older and older, but it's amazing. My goodness. Brother Spell, what a delight. You and Sister Dee Dee, she gets prettier. You get to looking older. It's been fun walking with your family all these years. You're right. We look back how long we've known one another. I think the Dead Sea was just sick. And that's all I can remember. It was we've known one another a long time. Just a joy to walk with your family. And Shelly, you just dove right in there. There, y'all are just as much blood kin as any of the others. I'll tell you, you bless me. Good to see you singing. I want you to go to lunch with us today and pork out a little bit. But I like the way you're shouting now. Man, I'm telling you. Yes, yes. I have tried. I'll tell you. I have done my best to lose weight. I really have, but I'm on this revolving diet. I eat every time I turn around, and it just works that way. What can I say to you? It's just amazing. Mona would be here this morning, and she's not sick. No reason she shouldn't be here other than 7 grandkids. And they outnumber me and they outrule me. And in fact, by now you probably already know they call me Mr. Venmo. If you don't know what that is, yes, sir. I'm telling you, all you got to do is put that first one in college, and they learn all of those apps on that smartphone. And buddy, don't tell me, don't they know how to request it? Woo. How many of you know got grandkids? Anybody here? Oh, yeah. You know what grandkids are. God's gift to us for not killing our kids when they were teenagers. And it goes double if you raise girls. Boys step on your toes. Girls just stomp on your heart. Well, did not work. I'll do my best to try something different there. But boy, I'll tell you, it's in fact, I'll use it in this message this morning. I just appreciate it. I remember you right after your heart surgery. Now, you had gone, I don't know if you was bear hunting or squirrel hunting or what in Colorado, but you were, you had a little heart trouble there. They brought you home and opened you up and did surgery, huh? And it was right after that. Oh, it's Shelly's fault. Yeah. Oh, I see. Yeah. Well, he hadn't healed up good, and duck season came in, and he and I happened to partner up to duck hunt. He got a bad heart, and I think I had pneumonia or the flu. Yeah. Sure, good reason for you to be hanging out with me. And I fell down, I'm telling you, I was too weak to walk in that marsh, and I fell down 3 times, and Austin picked me up. He looked at me that third time, he said, Brother Gene, I don't know that I've got a 4th time left in me. my ministry had already reached this size. You know, I got on the scales the other day, and they said, one at a time, please. You know, but Austin bailed me out. He got me out of there. And I'm beholden to you. I love you. Love your family. Amen. I miss Loretta. Good night. Couldn't help but spot that picture. And boy, it's in its rightful place too, huh? My goodness, she graced that side of the pulpit. And I tell you, I love to hear her sing. My goodness. I've been to the opera house to hear her sing. I love to hear her. I told her one time, I said, you know, one of my favorites is Step Right Up, Come Home In. I think she fell in love with me. I'm telling you. Amen. But I was going to tell you, Mona and I have been married this year 50 years. Isn't that good stuff? I'm excited. Thank you. I took her down the Mediterranean for a cruise. We went to Croatia, Italy, several places in Greece. And, man, I evidently on her bucket list, it wasn't on mine. But it just didn't matter. You know, I married a woman. And my goodness, I asked her here a while back. Then I'll get to preaching. You can believe something. But I got to asking her here a while back. I said, I'm just curious. We've been together all these years. If anything ever happened to old good time Gino, do you think you'll ever remarry? And she said, well, sure. I don't want to go to the funeral by myself. So I know where I write, and, you know, well. My goodness. Hey, folks, I only come here one time a year, so you'll be all right. Amen. If you have your Bibles, go to 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. Christian, good job, pal. Man, I love that song. Love that song. And that's where I'm at spiritually. I want you to know that. That's where I'm at, yeah. Praise the Lord. 2 Chronicles, and Winky, that's in the Old Testament. That's a... Oh, Sister Dee Dee there? I'm sorry. Yeah, man, I'll tell you, y'all have been married a while, haven't you?
64 years.
How long?
It's going to be 64 years
this year. 64 years. Wow. That's amazing. Well, that's good stuff. My goodness. 2 Chronicles 20:1. It happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they're in Hazlon Tamar, which is in Engedi. Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. I'm gonna continue to read, but I'm gonna ask you. I've never been a good actor. I never would have made it in Hollywood. So I want you to somehow read between the lines while I'm reading this passage, and realize what kind of trouble that Jehoshaphat realizes that his Israel is in. It's no different than over there on Gideon's mountain when they looked down the mountainside and see they were surrounded. In fact, whenever Gideon was battling against a bunch of people that was numbered as the sands of the earth, they couldn't count them all, the enemies that they had. I started to tell Mark a while ago while he was ministering up here a little bit, I wanted to tell him, hush, you're getting into my message. But I want you to possibly read between the lines of how desperate they really are. These people that, you know, there's certain things that face us in this country. I take nothing away from the difficulties and the stress and the junk that your family has had to endure and go through. But I'll tell you, not many of us have had the enemy shooting arrows and spears and cutting us with swords. There's just not a bunch of us in here that know this kind of warfare. Then in the fifth verse, Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven, and do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, pestilence or famine, we shall stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are, rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Now all Judah with their little ones, their wives, their children stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehazel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, "Listen, all of you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great battle, or this multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still. See the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you." Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites of the children, the Kohathites, and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. So they rose early in the morning, went out in the wilderness of Tekoa, and as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." Now when they began to sing to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there they were no their dead bodies fallen on the earth, and no one had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, they found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewelry, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much. And on the fourth day they assembled in the valley of Barachah, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore the name of that place was called the valley of Barachah until this day. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, with Jehoshaphat in front of them, to go back to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. So they came to Jerusalem with stringed instruments and harps and trumpets to the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. Then the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest all around. Would you pray with me? Father, I just thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to grace this pulpit, this holy desk. And I just pray, as has been done many times here in this church, help me to preach as it would be mighty oracles of God. Touch my tongue, make it as a pen of the ready writer, as David declared in the 46th Psalm. I pray, Lord, that you come now and touch the ears of your people here, that they might hear what the Spirit of God has to say to them today. And we leave here today in victory. In Jesus' name, And everybody said amen. It's a simplistic message. I want to preach it to you. What to do when you don't know what to do. I just would submit for the sake of this message that we've all been in places of overwhelming odds. And who would be the least one to maybe disagree today that we're a people that want out of our troubles quickly. The struggle that you and I have in life is that we are a microwave generation in the hands of a crockpot God. We'll give it some thought. We want immediate release. We want immediately out of our trouble. We don't like what we're feeling many times when we go through anything. I do have a question for you. How are you ever going to know how big your God is if you're not willing to go through some things in life? Yeah, I just believe this with all of my heart. I know that Jehoshaphat is in a difficult place, and anytime you're in leadership, you talk to your pastor sometime between services and let him tell you how lonely that leadership can be. How that there's some things that you cannot know that happen in other people's lives. Things that many of us in ministry and leadership today will literally carry to our graves. I remember my mentor, I call him my tormentor, Brother Joe Granberry in life, used to tell me all the time, he said, "Gino, I just want you to know that leadership is difficult. And if you're going to go and you're going to be a leader in life," he used to tell me, he said, "make sure that the friends that you gather around you are people that can take some things to their grave." I love the way you're shouting now, but that's where we're at in leadership. Jehoshaphat is facing these overwhelming odds that you agree with. That and he says, "We have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do." Now, we have the benefit of knowing the end of the story, but I think that it pays us to go back and examine what it is that helps Jehoshaphat get from point A to point B. I know, to begin my message, I would tell you that he was a prayer. Somewhere in here, I've got to mention that he had faith. And somewhere along the line, I've got to mention obedience. And somehow, I've got to talk about how effective worship is. When you discover how important worship is, you can find a way to victory. I'm just telling you, when it comes to prayer, I don't know that there's anything. I wish I could tell you that in my lifetime, that prayer was the first thing that I went to do. I would to God that I had learned that earlier in life, that we don't wait till later to pray. And Jehoshaphat found that out. That first 13 verses is the prayer of a leader, the prayer of Jehoshaphat. Calling a fast, calling people together and get together. And it was done promptly. And prayer is the first thing that you and I should do. And you say, "Well, man, I prayed sometimes." Well, let me interrupt you. Prayer may not change the circumstance that you're in, but it always moves God towards His will in your life. I want you to let that sink in for a minute, because there's people that believe that we serve a God that is just we've got a way to Him like a Pentecostal slot machine, that whenever the numbers all line up in sevens, His perfect number, that He's just going to work immediately. That's right. I am in a gambling state, aren't I? Man, that's good. I just remember whenever I began to think about this, that, you know, if you don't, you don't like it because your prayers get answered differently, well, you don't need to take it up with me. You need to go back and question those Hebrew boys that went through a fiery furnace. I'm sure they prayed. I'm almost positive they prayed. But what they would tell you, that even though you go through the fiery furnace and the ropes that bound you are burned away, and the guards that threw them in there are destroyed, and they're dead and gone, that you still sometimes have to go through the fire. But you can come out the other side and not even look like you've been affected by the circumstance that you've been in. Mona and I, we lost a baby many years ago, probably 30 years ago now. And that was a difficult time to go through. Did we weep over it? We were destroyed. We were just devastated over that, putting that downtown Houston, taking her and putting her in the car and driving her home when her body is telling her that there ought to be a beautiful baby there with us in the automobile. And it was not to be. And people ask us, well, you didn't get mad at God at that? Well, no, I didn't get mad at him, because I'll tell you, if I stay true to him and I can stay sweet in my nature and I can live for him the rest of my life, I've already placed somebody on the other side that will be waving me through when I go through the pearly gates. I believe that with all of my heart. But, you know, prayer may not always change the circumstances you're in, but it always moves God towards his will in your life. Amen. Then his prayer was passionate. Sooner or later, you've got to learn that there's some prayers that are an octave higher than other prayers. An octave higher. Yeah, with a louder voice. And boy, I tell you what, I'd never had a kid run away from home. I said up until that point, man, I'll never forget the Barbers Hill asked me to come and pray over the football game over there in Mont Bellevue. And I remember I was the new pastor in that community. Had only been there, maybe 18 months or so. And boy, they asked me to come pray. I don't know how you pray for guys running into one another on the field, but I got it done, and I don't remember whether we won or lost the thing. I just remember when I got back to the parsonage and back to the house there, and I walked in. There's a mirror across the room in the furniture in that little parsonage, and there was a letter, a note stuck up in the corner, and it wasn't a Dear John letter. It was a Dear Dad letter from a 15-year-old. Boy, I'll tell you, y'all ever had to break kids up? Did y'all try any of that good stuff? Yeah, get you some of that. You know, and my daughter had bumped into a goober at high school. You know, since I started in ministry, they won't let me cuss anymore. So all I got is goober. You know, I can't use anything stronger than that. But Mona told me, she said, hey, you know, you need to help me and stand with me on this. I said, do what you got to do, girl. Hey, anybody remember the black minister, E.B. Hill? Wonderful black Baptist minister. He's originally out of Texas, went over to L.A. and had the largest Baptist church in the country at one time. And he preached his own wife's funeral. I told Mona, don't expect that of me, but he did that, and he said that whenever he said he was talking about his daughter, and she has married a professor out of Cornell University. I mean, she's married to a very astute man and dignified man. But he said it wasn't always so. He said there was something came to the door the other day, and I know he meant years before. But he said when I looked at that boy through that screen door, he said, son, can I help you? He said, I'm here to see your daughter, preacher. And he said, son, that you don't even look like what we have been thinking about.
Pastor Spell and the congregation of Victory Gospel Lighthouse wish to thank you for tuning into our broadcast and want you to join us at the same time next Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. for more of God's Word here on HLE Radio. If you would like to partner with us by spreading the gospel, you can send your support to P.O. Box 387, Jennings, Louisiana 70546. If you would like to listen to more sermons, you can do so by going to hleradio.com and clicking on Online Sermons, Victory Gospel Lighthouse. We hope you will join us next week. God bless you and God bless America.
No, I'm not perfect, and I'll never be. Your sweet forgiveness, Lord, can rescue me. Here comes His grace again.
there goes my fear. Here comes my Lord and friend.